Are you ready for the next step in your career? Let Grace College Online bring the classroom to you. Discover flexible, convenient degree programs in business, education, ministry, and more, all grounded in biblical values. Grace College, located in Winona Lake, Indiana, is an evangelical Christian community of higher education, offering graduate and bachelor's degrees designed for you and your busy schedule. Finish in as little as 16 months in an affordable program that includes books in the cost of admission. Get started today at online.grace.edu. That's online.grace.edu or call 1-800-823-8533.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, this is Steve Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. My guest today is Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, who I've interviewed before, and I want to find out today, Lauren, how YWAM started way back in 1960.
It was actually 56 when I was out in the Caribbean as a 20-year-old, and it was mid-June, and it was Wednesday afternoon. I was praying because I was going to talk to about 200 young people that night about Jesus. And instead of getting the lamp to the feet, Psalms 119:105, I got the light to the pathway. He showed me the big picture of millions and millions and millions of young people going across every continent in the world to every nation on the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was like waves coming across the continents. And this was all a mental picture that I had because I loved to surf when I was a teenager in Santa Monica. And so as I saw these waves of young people going everywhere from everywhere, I thought, this has never been done in history. And so I began to wait like Mary. She had to ponder the word in her heart. She didn't tell Joseph. She didn't tell anyone else until the Lord told them. And it was then, by 1960, I had several confirmations this was of God. So we launched Youth with a Mission in 1960.
Now, wasn't there a connection with the Assemblies of God in the early days?
I grew up in the Assemblies of God, but the thing the Lord showed me at the beginning was it was not to be one denomination. It was to include all the denominations. So I didn't know how that would work out, and I have no understanding. But at the same time, I watched the charismatic movement because David Duplessy knew my dad very well. He stayed in our homes at times when I was growing up. And I even played a little trick on him. I had a dribble glass, you know, and a glass of water that had a little hole in it. He was very proper, you know, from South Africa mostly. And he was, oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry, I'm just being close. Of course, I'm over there chuckling as a 12-year-old. But it was something that God was putting together. And David Wilkerson became a real friend. I was with him when I was speaking in his church. I was 19. He was about 23 or 24 over in Phillipsburg. And so I had these connections that were done by the Spirit, really, for purposes that would go later. Because David was then speaking about this rise that was going to come of youth, and it became first the hippie movement, then the Jesus Revolution. And God had shown me the same thing. And that those connections that took place at that period of time was so key in the beginnings of YWAM. And yeah, we were in many ways the hippies too. Many of them became part of YWAM.
How did you get the model for what YWAM has become? Because back then, Campus Crusade would have been fairly small, and other missions organizations had very, very different models. But you basically get these young people without any money. In fact, someone told me that's what YWAM stood for.
Yeah.
And they would raise their own support, and they would go to all these places, and, you know, incredible things would happen. Were you the first one to use that model?
I don't think so. I think Paul used it. I think Jesus used it. I think others used it. But what I really understood at that time was what I got from the Lord. And the Lord showed me, he said, first of all, I don't want YWAM to be a cul-de-sac. I want it to be a bridge, easy to get on, easy to get off. So there would be a lot of short-termers, you know, I'm now looking back, and it would be modular. It would be a lot of things. But then when it came to finances, I had the heads of missions tell me, Lauren, you've got to pay them so you can hire them and you can fire them. Otherwise, you lose control. I said, I don't want control. I have a graduate degree in management, but that was not what I wanted. I knew the Holy Spirit had to control them. And if they didn't get controlled by the Spirit and be called, I said, Lord, if it's a bridge, how do I have enough staff? He says, I will call them long-term to the mission. So we have missionaries in YWAM that have now been with us 50 years, and they were called into it. But I was tested at the beginnings. I had 7 different ones come to me, the very best, you know, the kind that you could build a real future on, leaders. And they said, God's calling us out of YWAM to start a new ministry. And I said, okay, I'll help you. And I had to help them. And that was my test. And then I tried to pay at least the office staff 2 times. And the 3rd time I said, okay, God, you take care of their money. I'll take care of the recruiting. And so I've been sharing vision and the young people come, but how would I pay somebody from Zimbabwe who came to me and said, how do I get support? Because we don't send out missionaries. We only receive them here. Same in Brazil, the same in Chile, South America at that period of time. And so now today, those are the great mission sending nations. Because I said to him, I said, well, if you went to somebody's house, would they buy you a cola and give it to you? Yes. How much would that cost? Well, that's about $1 even in our country. And I said, well, what about getting 30 of them? Could they give you that much a day? Well, yeah. I said, that's what you need, don't you? And you could then live on it because we don't have high budgets. And I don't to this day. And so we can do things at a very low cost. But it can be fair because if you're living in Tokyo, it's going to cost you a lot more than living, say, in Rwanda. So we have people in, like I said, 191 countries, and they have different kinds of budgets and all, but all of them can live trusting the Lord and linking with people. And because we are tens of thousands now that are full-time, and we've had 5 million short-termers in all of these years, and so as we see all of them coming together, what holds us together is our vision, our values, our calling of God, and the Holy Spirit blending us together. As Billy Graham asked me one time, he says, this is in his home. I served on one of his boards 10 years. He asked me simply, how many denominations are there in YWAM? I said, at least 200. He said, are there that many? I said, there's that many in just Lagos, Nigeria alone. In other words, there's little denominations starting up all over the world. And so we're watching something of a unity that I could never have imagined. I imagined the number because it wasn't my number. I saw those numbers in vision. But it was the unity that God has given us across all the lines because our goal is one together, and that's finishing the Great Commission in each of our generations.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about my own interaction with YWAM, and I probably first became aware of what you're doing in the 60s. I would not have been real old. I would have thought it mostly of young people going on short-term missions. And then in the early 70s, as the Jesus movement was cranking up, I was influenced by some of your leaders like Joy Dawson and others. And I thought YWAM was huge at that point. I mean, that was my perspective. And now, of course, that's dwarfed by whatever you are now. You were throwing out some statistics, but how many countries are you in? How many YWAMers are there at any given time? I realize there's people coming and going to your DTSs, your discipleship training schools, and so forth.
Our ministries, again, is the area of evangelism, the area of discipleship, which is training, and it's the area of mercy ministries. So in those 3 categories, we have to have full-time support of those that are staff. We have long-term staff, and long-term can be anything that God holds them there, but it certainly is not under a year, but most of them are years, decades, and then beyond. And so as we're watching that grow, we decided to not count in public, even on our website. We're almost double what the website says we are in terms of full-time staff. And the more we would go up, the more persecution came and so on. And so what we are, though, we can say we're full-time in 191 countries of the world, but it's our university and our whole educational program that starts. We do preschools. We've started over 2,000 throughout the world. We have grammar schools, high schools, university. But we do things in the university in a modular way. This is what the Lord showed us in prayer, 3 days fasting and prayer. He spoke to us about modular education. Well, I have degrees in that, even graduate. But in that area of modular education, we had never heard of that before. 14 of us, we had all been in universities and been involved. Someone was dean of a university in the College of Education. And he said to me, he said, "Lauren, that's not an educational term. It's architectural." I said, "I know it, but God's saying we'd have modular education." Well, today we have modular education. The university is training, and you don't multiply. See, Genesis 1:28, first command from God, be fruitful. Second, multiply. Third, fill the earth. So fill the earth, that's geography. But the fruitful and multiplication goes demographically. And as we do that, we begin to see the vision growing and we modularize the locations. We have 750 locations where we offer with staff on the ground, students, dormitories, and so on, 750 locations in 160 nations presently. We want to do that in 4,000 locations. So we're on our way. And by putting those pods together all over the world, tied together by the internet academically, and yet having traveling teachers, several thousand, and they travel around the world teaching young people in their specialty. We cannot take a leader or a teacher who has not done what they're trying to teach because they have no authority nor impartation. But a brother Andrew, I was just with him on a worldwide event streaming video together with Joy Dawson. We used to do that together back in the 70s and 80s. And so we did it again, all time zones. And so as we did this, well, I was thinking back on brother Andrew, how he came. The first time he came to teach, 1970, everybody wanted to go to the Iron Curtain countries and deliver Bible. So we did. And it was an impartation. The same with Joy Dawson when she came. Everybody wanted to start interceding, listening to God. What does God say? Pray God's prayers, not just our own supplications. That's legitimate in this Bible, supplication, but intercession. We saw the advancement of the kingdom of God through that kind of thing and listening to God and obeying God. So the growth and all of that is put together into a composite. And as they come together with evangelism training, Mercy Ministries, we're able to minister into the places they say you can't go. We're working there and we have been there for decades. And we're feeding tens of thousands of children that right now the nation is very much in the news every day. We have 72,000 children we're feeding every day in that nation. I won't name it. But as we do this and we clothe them and we house them and we take care of them, God blesses us. And that's all you do. You give away what God gives you and you're just the middleman that just pass it on and not take from it.
As we wrap this up, let me ask you an awkward question, and maybe you don't want to answer it, but you've been doing this a long time. Since you were young yourself, you said you started really, or you had the vision when you were 20, and I know you well enough to know that you're now 82. Now, you've got the energy of someone a third your age or half your age, certainly, but what is the future of YWAM? Are you raising up leaders? What do you see happening in the future?
We have thousands of wonderful young leaders. And they are in generations right here at the table. We have two more generations around this table where we're talking right now. And these young leaders are going to do and are already doing greater things than I've ever done. And one of them right here to my right, he's memorized and can recite the entire book of Revelation in a dramatic form. But he's also memorized 6 books of the New Testament. While the one on my left, he's created an app that literally takes the Bible on a digital Bible, digital platform combination, first in history. And they literally can look at the Bible in a billion different ways. metadata behind every word, including the word the articles, a, and so on. And so when you do that, you suddenly have something that comes alive to the millennial generation. See, I can't do that at 82. I can't do that. I can go to, as I did in 4 months, I've been to 5 continents, and I'm out there all the time, and that's where I love to be. But they're doing something that I cannot do. And that's what I see in our leadership. And here in Orlando, Michael Berg, he's leading a group with a 200-acre campus, and they are going for God right now into countries you wouldn't even think you would want to go. They are doing it. I'm talking about next week. And so as they're going out and doing exciting things, we're seeing something far greater than I could have ever done. I got to lead when it was small.
That's exciting, and thank you for sharing your insights, and I look forward to other podcasts. So thank you for listening today to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.